All right, week number two, Summerfest, coming at you. Woo! We had some good discussion last week. We had a lot of good subsequent discussion on some of the materials from last week, too, on fear and things. And so this week we're going to talk about worry. Woo! We really go for the attractional topics here at Summerfest. Your best life now. No. Let me pray for us. On that note, we need prayer. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for your goodness. Thank you for this church. Lord, thank you for the simple truth of that song, that we can rest in the assurance that your mercy has covered our sins, no matter what they are, God, that the blood that was shed on the cross of Jesus is sufficient. And Lord, it's in that we stand by faith. And so we thank you for that simple truth. Encourage us with that simple truth. Lord, as we come to you and come to your word, as we talk about some of these things that are very practical to everybody in these areas of fear, worry, and anxiety, would you help us to get our arms around this in a biblical way? Would you challenge our thinking? Would you correct our thinking? Would you help us? We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So we're going to talk about worry tonight, and I'm going to say it right up front. I owe a big debt of gratitude to my fellow bald pastor brother, Brad Bigney, because I'm repurposing a lot of his material from some work that he did. I'm reminded of a book by Jerry Bridges as well called Acceptable Sins. And worry seems to be on that list of acceptable sins, right? Because everybody kind of seems to do it. Everybody seems to worry about something. And so, interactive time, right? You're allowed to talk on Sunday nights. What are some, theoretically, not yourself, right? Asking for a friend. What are some things that other people, not yourself, might be tempted to worry about? What do you think? What do you got, Sherry?
Financial issues.
Like you just have too much money. You don't know where to put it all. I hear that. I feel that. Yeah, so financial issues, where's the money going to come from? Okay. What are some other common... Yes, Tom. Health. Yeah, what's going on with my health? Yeah, so money and health, those are two of the big ones right away. What about others? Any others you can think of?
Relationships.
Either you want more or you want less, right? There are some relationships you want. There are some that you don't really want, right? That's true. That's true. Okay, Paul, what do you got? Worrying about lost loved ones coming to faith. Absolutely. Yeah, so I mean, we could do this all night, right? We can continue to list worries. And of course, we all walked in here with some sort of worries in our heart, whether we know it or not. It's my job to make you think about those worries right now, so we're going to enjoy that. Is worry good or bad?
Bad?
Okay, bad. Okay. Recall last week there was a healthy and an unhealthy fear. Is there such thing as healthy worry? And Maddie, I think I have slides up in there too. We're going to get to them shortly. Is there such a thing as a healthy worry? Lots of people shaking their heads. I'm not going to give you the answers, by the way. We're just... All right, so let's define. Last time, we're going to do the same thing. We're going to do definition, evaluation, and then application. So definition, right? What is worry? Let's look at it from two perspectives, okay? What it is and what it is not, okay? What it is not is godly concern, okay? And that means your normal, appropriate concern for things in your control. That's going to be very important. It's not sinful worry to do that, right? To have a normal godly concern and appropriate concern for things in your control, right? Neither is it a reasonable preparation for those things that are in your control. Those are all good and godly things. We have things that are in our circle of concern of control that we should be concerned about. Neither is it what I like to say, adulting, right? Adulting's hard. There's responsibilities. You got to get up in the morning. You got to pay your bills. You got to go see your job. You got to do all that other stuff. Sometimes all that stuff comes upon you at the same time, right? It usually does. Sorry, that's just being an adult, okay? That's not what we're talking about when we talk about sinful worry. But what is sinful worry? Literally in the Greek, maybe this to help you think about it, it's a divided mind, a divided soul. And so picture your heart dwelling upon not one thing, right? You're dwelling upon 15 things. And you're meditating on that, and you're worrying about that. Sinful worry could also be classified as a lack of faithfulness and preparation for those things that are your responsibility, right? So you have things that are your responsibility, and you're just not being faithful with them. You're just not owning it. This is what everybody knows, but nobody likes to hear. It's a lack of trust in God in those things that are not your responsibility, that are not your control, right? We talked about it last week with fear. Sometimes we fear about all the stuff that's never going to happen to us, right? So we worry about all the stuff that's not even in our control, right? We worry about these things that we have no control over, including responses of other people, right? We can't control how other people are going to respond to us or what they think of us all the time, right? We can't control the results of the things that we want for the things that we think we need. We can't always control those things, so maybe we tend to drift into sinful worry about it. David Powelson. X, Y, Z. Notice the excessive dwelling. Right? If you're like me, it's usually the first thing that comes into your mind in the morning. Oops, kind of drops right in your head. Oh yeah, that situation's still there. Proceed. Excessively dwell. That's what we call sinful work. All of us, not exhausted. Make up what the Bible talks about as worry. Yes. Let's look at some board finances, right? You need to have a budget. You need to raise your kids, right? Even though they stress you out, they're partially crazy. Right? You need to do all those things. But when does godly concern then drift into sinful worry? And again, I am indebted to Big Need for this. Here are some list of things for us. Your thoughts are focused on changing the future. Your thoughts are unproductive. In other words, caught in a spin cycle. Caught in a spin cycle. We're just kind of thinking the same thing over and over again. How about this one? Thoughts control you instead of you controlling your thoughts.
That one gets me all the time. Just like, I really wanted to stop thinking about this, but I'm still thinking about this. Right? It causes you to neglect your God-given responsibilities and relationships. That's a big one, right? Because sometimes we just get so overwhelmed with worry and so overwhelmed with all these other things that are going on that what happens? We kind of shut down, right? And we actually neglect those things that we should be doing, right? Maybe we're not being diligent at our job then because we're consumed with worry. Maybe we're not being diligent in our finances because we're consumed with worry. Maybe some of our relationships are now negatively impacted because of all the worry that's spilled over into our lives. Right? That's another indicator that you've drifted into sinful worry. Your health becomes affected. Sleep, stomach issues, etc. You could maybe be self-medicating, alcohol, pain meds, video games, whatever, obsessive gardening, I don't know. You start losing hope instead of finding answers. And that's just by way of personal transparency, right? That's when I know I'm drifting into sinful worry, is when I stop really trying to actually solve whatever is going on. Right? When I just want to dwell on it and I just want to be in it and I want to soak in that worry and anxiety instead of just praying about it and saying, how can I actually fix this? Right? That's when it's like, okay, what am I doing here? I'm in the spin cycle. I'm just caught in this sinful cycle of worry. You start losing hope instead of finding answers. And last but certainly not least, one of my personal favorites, you shut down, stop functioning, and go full turtle. Right? Hide in your little shell. Right? Jancy. What'd you say?
Was that part of the
No, that was me. That was actually Rule. Sorry. I gave him credit for some things, and now you can't tell who's who. But yeah. No, Melanie, she says I go turtle, which I do. But I know that what's going on. Something's overwhelming. So one of my defense mechanisms is to shut down, right? These things and many more could indicate to us that godly concern has now drifted out of the territory of godly concern, and you are now entering sinful worry. Right? Any others that other people have experienced in their own thoughts, lives? Any other defense mechanisms that you'd like to share with the group? I hear one? Get angry, okay. So your fuse gets shorter? Okay. Yeah, that's a good one. Because you're kind of primed to go off, right? And suddenly you snap at the whatever stupid things. Yeah. Isn't that great? Isn't it a blessing for the person that finds that fuse that's just like that straw that breaks the camel's back? It's like, good morning. Driving. Yeah. Exactly. Okay, so sometimes sleeping helps because you're not awake to think about stuff. Okay. That could kind of tip the scales, right? Right, then you could be like, okay, well, it could be kind of self-medicating in some ways because you're like, hey, everybody needs 16 hours of sleep, don't they? But then not really, right? You're kind of escaping a little bit there. Yeah. Sure. Additional complicating factors, right? Right? So now you're like trying to escape, so you sleep. It's like, oh, I'm not doing the things I'm supposed to because I'm drifting into laziness, right? Let's look at some evaluation. Why do we give in to worry? Some things here. How about a lack of understanding what is actually our responsibility and what is not? Right? Some things we're worrying about, let's be straight up, we have no business worrying about because it's not our responsibility. And we're going to talk about that big time at the end. Right? Here's another big one. A lack of understanding in God, in actually who God actually is. Like the God of this. Right? Not the God of our own understanding, right? But the God of the Bible. And we give in to worry really because it's a lack of actually trusting in God. It's when it gets real, real fast. Let's look at a scripture passage. Matthew 6, 25 and 26. Scripture uses sometimes the words fear and anxiety interchangeably. In the ESV, I think it's going to use the word anxious, but in CSB, it uses the word worry. It's the same word, the divided heart, and we're going to talk about a subtle difference in worry and anxiety next week. Somebody want to read 6:25 and 26 for us, nice and loud? Of Matthew 6, 25, 26. Anyone? Nice and loud, Paul.
Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. Do they not sow or reap or gather into barns? They do not sow or reap or gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Not much more valuable than that.
Okay. Thank you. Straight up, right? It's actually a command. Do not worry about your life. Why do you think Scripture says that? Why do you think Scripture comes right out and says, why shouldn't you worry about your life?
Because God is the great provider. And
okay.
He constantly tells us he doesn't want us to worry and be fearful and full of anxiety.
Yeah.
We are to trust in him.
Yeah.
100% of the time, not lean on our own understanding.
Yeah, because God is who he is, right? Exactly. And if we're the ones jumping into this, then we're the ones almost sometimes assuming the role of God, right? That we actually have the ability to change stuff when we don't, yeah. Right? Look too at this. He says, do not worry about your life. And he has common concerns, right? What you will eat or what you will drink, not about your body or what you will put on, right? Does that mean we just throw off all care and caution to the world at all. So it's like, I'm not going to worry about fixing food. The Lord will provide. I'm not going to put on clothing. The Lord will provide for that somehow. I'm glad you all had a godly concern for putting on clothing tonight. Right? That's not what we're talking about here. You can't take it to that extreme either. That goes into the godly concern. Yes, it is good and appropriate that I feed myself and clothe myself. That's not what he's talking about here. Instead of what? It's talking about that obsession, that excessive dwelling on, oh my gosh, am I going to have enough? Am I going to eat? What am I going to eat? Right? That could get into all kinds of things, right? Talk about idolatry, right? And then look, in verse 26, he says, look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? You know, not only do when we worry, we give into worry, we forget who God is, but we forget who we are in the sight of God. That's what Scripture is telling us. That we're dear to God. We're His holy, beloved children. He provides for the birds. Do you think He's not going to provide for one of His children? Of course He's going to. He's there for us in many ways, right? And of course, we bring this back to the most important way that He's provided for us, which is salvation in Jesus Christ. Because we could literally have no money in the bank. We could literally have nothing to eat. But that's going to go away. That's a temporary need. The permanent need is eternity. The permanent need is God's wrath against us, that is justifiably so. And He satisfied that. That's the biggest overarching need. He's taking care of that. I'm reminded of Romans 8, which says, did He not give us His Son? How will He not, together with Him, graciously give us all things? We look at what He's given us in Christ, and we're like, wow, okay, so if that's what He started with, why are we worried about what we're going to eat? We should have, that should be somewhere down on the list, but that shouldn't be the first thing, right? Why is it otherwise terrible? And we kind of hit these things before, but I think I got this from Brad too. It's unproductive, it's unbecoming, and it's unbelieving. Like you see, find somebody who's consumed with worry. It's unbecoming. You don't really want to hang out with them, right? It's not exactly the most attractive personality. It's not really for mutual upbuilding, right? It's unproductive because, again, you're spinning your wheels over and over again. And again, it's unbelieving. It's a matter of unbelieving.
It's also unsatisfying.
It is unsatisfying.
Because I think if I'm worrying, somehow or another, I have control over the situation,
it's going to work
my way. But there's, I'm definitely hit that
button. Yeah. I'm grasping after wind. Yeah. It's satisfying was the word you were, because we're never going to worry ourselves into a solution, right? I don't think I've ever reached that point after worrying about something for a week. It's like, wow, I'm glad I thought about this 24 hours a day for the last 7 days. Now I know what to do. That never happens. I just dig myself deeper into that hole. You're right. It is unproductive that way. Okay, so like last week, we have an exercise in your handouts. So we're going to take a few moments to do that. Where's my exercise guy, Madison? There he is. I love him so much. So we'll take a couple of moments, just fill that out. My same disclaimer is as last week. We're not going to pick on you. You're not going to have to tell the class what you wrote. You're not going to have to do a group assignment. This is just for you. Okay, so just take a few moments and fill that out. Anybody needs one of these, I got some here. Oh, you're coming up, sir. Name your biggest worry at the moment. Step through your thinking. What do you want most not to happen? What are you trying to control, and can you? What ACFs have you actually seen so far because of your super worrying power? And how are you acting to resolve this worry? Don't think of the right answers. Don't think of the answers that Pastor Mike wants to hear. Just what you're, where you are right now in this.
Let's give you a couple more minutes there. To make your worries real. Write them down. All right. Just like last week, sometimes it's good to write some of these things down, right? Just to see it on paper, right? Sometimes it's kind of abstract. You have it up there in the clouds that you're thinking about, but when you actually see it on paper, I don't know about you guys, but for me, maybe I'm just a nerd, but I feel better when I see it. Maybe when I make a list, I feel better of all the things I actually have to do that it's like, oh, I can do that. That's not that bad. But if I think about it, it seems like a million things that I can't do, right? But if I make a list and actually say, oh, okay, that's not that bad. So let's look at some application here then, because I kind of led you up to there. We didn't resolve anything. You just kind of described your worries. Right? So how do we deal with worry biblically? First, kind of like last week, stop and analyze. Is this godly concern or it's sinful? Is it godly concern or sinful worry? And we gave you some good categories of what that looks like. It's going to be the same common steps that are going to happen like last week. Confess, repent, and apply the gospel. And take action. I really wanted that to be like an acronym for CART. Confess, but it's not. It's CRAT. And that just doesn't sound right. So confess, repent, apply the gospel, take action. All right, so we confess, like James 5:16 says, God, James 5:16 says, confess your sins one to another and pray for one another so that you may be healed, right? Say, actually, God, this is consuming me. This has drifted into the issue. You've told me in Matthew 6 to not worry about my life, and I'm worrying about my life. We're agreeing with God. We're saying the same thing that God, we're calling it sin, and we confess it as sin. So then we need to repent, right? What does repent mean? To change, right? It's a change in thinking that leads to a change in behavior. So we need to actually change. And worry is one of those things where it's like, okay, I'm just not going to worry anymore, right? That lasts about 5 minutes, right? But what do we do then? It's not just not worrying, but then dwelling on then the good things, dwelling on who God is, dwelling on why we're not supposed to worry, dwelling on the good attributes of God. Well, they're all good attributes. Dwelling on the attributes of God, dwelling on who we are in the gospel. Right? So you're replacing those thoughts. You're changing. You're replacing those worried thoughts with biblically God-honoring thoughts. Along with that, we apply the gospel. Preach the gospel to yourself. Ground your identity in the gospel of who you are in Christ. Centered in the grace of Jesus, of course. Because too, there's nothing worse than thinking like, oh, I'm consumed with worry, and then also God's mad at me because I'm consumed with worry. Right? That's like double jeopardy there. But God's not mad at you. God poured out all his wrath on the cross in his son Jesus Christ. He doesn't want you to be stuck in sin, of sinful worry. You're not experiencing the fullness of fellowship with him. You're not experiencing the fullness of his love, but he's jealous for that. He wants that back, right? But we know that we are forgiven and justified in Christ already. And so therefore, we align ourselves with who we are. And some items to take action. Face it. We put it down on the paper. Right? Like, confess your sins one to another. Talk to someone else about it. Someone else in the body. If you're a member, maybe talk to your shepherd about it. Right? You can always talk to one of the elders or care group leaders or somebody. So face it. Get to know the God of the Bible. Right? Not the God of your understanding. And actively seek to trust that God. Right? Think about that just for a minute, the God of the Bible, right? Genesis starts with, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Okay? That's kind of a huge statement, right? So God is the God of creation. God is the God of making things from nothing.
Can he do whatever is worrying you? Yes. But he's also not so much worried about fixing these things so much. Like, God, do this, do this, do this. He's also worried about what? Growing us. Right? I'm reminded so often, and you said idolatry, I'm reminded of Ezekiel 14, where there's that vision of the priests of Israel, and they come to God, and they're about to be exiled, and they're about to be overrun, and they go to God, they fast, and they pray, and they go to God and say, God, help us, we're about to be, you know what's going on, we're about to be overrun, we're about to be invaded, we're about to be killed and put into exile. And God has this vision of their prayer that he puts down in Ezekiel 14. He says, basically, Mike's paraphrase, I know all about what's going on. You guys are coming to me with your arms full of idols. I'm worried about those. What are all those things in your hand? I know about everything that's going on in your life. What's in your hands? What are all those idols that you're carrying? Let's talk about those. Because I could fix that other stuff in a minute, but I don't want to right now, because I want to deal with those idols in your heart. He says, shouldn't I address them as those they are coming to me with their idols so that I can take hold of their hearts? Same principle applies. You know, we go to God and we say, God, fix this. But God's more interested in removing our idols and growing us into the image of Christ. Right? That's the hard part. Ed Welch, in a wonderfully convicting and helpful book called Running Scared, says the cure is not simply to know what the problem is. The cure is to know the one we are called to trust. Where do we trust God for some things and not others? Right? We can all sit here and be like, oh, God, yeah, he created the world. He's holding everything together. You know, the atmosphere works. And we got enough oxygen and all those wonderful things. But then we walk out of here and we're worried sick about other things that we're not trusting to God. Right? What a great quote. The cure is to know the one who we are called to trust. Another action step. Be more consumed with the kingdom of God than the kingdom of self. I'm worried about all these things in our kingdom. What does that necessarily say about the place of God's kingdom? Kind of gets demoted, right? Right behind our kingdom. Ed Welch again helps us. He says, one of the strategies for dealing with worry is to be overtaken by something more important than the object of your worries. We need to be overtaken with God's kingdom. So replace God's kingdom as the most important thing in your life instead of your kingdom. And sometimes that's hard to see. And God uses these things like sinful worry to bring us to that understanding that, hey, what we're worrying about is taking the place of God's kingdom in our lives. That's what should be more important. And I'll give you one more practical step. Look on the back of your handout there. There should be this wonderful circle. This is adapted from a book by Paul David Tripp called Instruments in the Redeemer's Hands. It's a circle of concern and the circle of responsibility. I'm really glad I put that in your handouts, because you're never going to read that on the screen right now. So there are two circles, right? One inside each other. The circle inside is the circle of responsibility. These are the things that God has called me to that I cannot pass on to anyone else. Like what? What would fall into this circle?
Personal salvation.
Personal salvation. Okay. Tell me more. What are you going for there? Okay. Okay. So your walk with Jesus?
Yeah.
Your growth, your sanctification? Okay. So yeah, that's definitely your responsibility. Ephesians 4 tells us to be growing up in every way into him who's the head. We're supposed to be growing, right? What else are our responsibilities? Go ahead, Tom. Sharing the gospel, evangelism. Yep. Okay. Good. What other responsibilities do we have? Raising your kids. Absolutely, as parents, right? Raising your kids in the fear and instruction of the Lord. Yeah. What about husbands and wives? Right? If I'm a husband, I have a role to love my wife as much as I love myself. I have a role to nurture her so that she becomes a more of a mature believer by how I'm treating her and how I'm loving her, right? What's a role as a wife? You know, all those things are our responsibilities. If you're single, you know, we all have responsibilities to obey the scriptures and whatever we're called to, right? Our responsibilities in our job. We have to go. We have to be diligent. We have to do it with a way that reflects the goodness of our Savior, right? So these things are the things that whatever particular life calling you're into, right? Whether you're a husband, whether you're a worker, whether you're a mom or dad or a single person, or whether you're a student or whether you're whatever, right? We all have responsibilities. The things that God has called me to that I cannot pass on to anyone else. Those we are challenged to faithfully obey, right? We can't say, oh, I can't love my wife the way I'm supposed to right now because of blank, right? We don't get a pass on those things ever. God never says, oh, it's okay to sin because you're consumed with whatever's going on right now. We don't get a pass on those things ever. Okay, so that's the inside circle. That's our circle of responsibility. The outside circle is the circle of concern. Okay, these are things we're concerned about. They concern me, but are beyond my responsibility and possibly my ability. Right? Sometimes you will hear my wife, and she'll listen to this later and laugh. But sometimes she'll literally say, that's outside my circle. Right? And it's usually something that's blowing up here, like water's leaking somewhere. There's a fire down. Not if there was a fire, that would be in her circle. But like something that she can't control. Right? And I think that's great and wise. And we joke about that because we remember this illustration from Paul David Tripp in his book. But there's a huge difference between the circle of responsibility, that's mine, I own it, and the circle of concern, right? For those things that are just in the circle of concern, we are to entrust them to God. Big difference than faithfully obey. What's the danger of mixing those two things up? Think about it. What's the danger of taking too much into our circle of responsibility? We can try to become God. How's that going to work out? That's not going to, right? We're going to crush ourselves. Right? There's only one Messiah. There's only one Holy Spirit. It's not us. But if we're going to take everything into our circle of responsibility, and you see how those arrows are pointing out, right? Because that's the temptation. These arrows are people expanding their responsibilities to try and do God's job. Right? There are things that we think we're responsible for that we're not responsible for. There are things that end up in this little circle that shouldn't be there. And if they're there, so if we then are dumping all these things into this circle and our circle's getting bigger and bigger and bigger, are we going to start to worry more? Yeah. Because we know we can't control these things. But I'll just keep throwing them in that circle of responsibility anyway. Some of those things are good things. Somebody said salvation of loved ones, right? Parents, we can't save our kids, right? We can't. We can be faithful. We can lay it down. We can model it. We can preach the gospel to them, but we can't save them. So our child's salvation really doesn't go in our circle of responsibility, right? But if you put it in there, that's hard. You're going to be setting yourself up for failure because you can't save them, right? You can't save them. Only God can save them, right? Look at the circle of concern too. You see how that arrow is pushing in? That arrow represents people minimizing their responsibilities as they expect God to do their job. That means there are things that are legitimately our responsibility to do that we're not doing. Because we say, oh, I'm going to push that to the circle of concern, right? Okay, so let's go back to the husband and wife, right? So let's say, I'm not loving my wife the way I should. It's my responsibility. God calls me to do that as a husband. But I'm so consumed with work or I'm so consumed with whatever that I'm going to push that off for right now. And that's going to become not my responsibility. Then that's going to become a concern. That's going to be, yeah, okay. I'll get to it when I get to it. I'll nurture my relationship with my wife when I can. Right? That's sin, folks. We're shirking our God-given responsibilities of what we're supposed to be doing. Right? And you see how these two things are either they're pushing against each other, so we have to balance these things. And we have to fight for really. And what's our guide for what's our responsibility and what's not? This is a Bible. I'm holding it up for those listening at home. Okay? It's God's word. You know, we learn who God is, we learn who we are, and we learn how we're supposed to be and follow God in the Bible. He's not hiding anything from us. It's all right here. We understand that. We learn that. We see what it means to be a husband, what it means to be a wife, what it means to be a student, what it means to be a child, what it means to be all of these things. Whatever area you are in, we see. And then we populate our circle of responsibility with what the Bible calls us to. Our heart's going to lie to us all the time and going to say that this is your responsibility. What are some other things that we can put in the circle of responsibility that don't belong there? We said kids' salvation. That was a good one. What else? What else can we put in the circle of responsibility that doesn't belong there and then will contribute to sinful worry? The world situation. Okay. There's not much we can change about that, right? We see things going in a bad direction in the world, and we if we're worrying about it, that's a good way to look at it too. If we're consumed with worry about it, then we're actually saying, we're inferring that I can have some sort of role in changing this myself, and therefore it's my responsibility when it's not. Yeah. The world, what it looks like. What else? What else are we tempted to put in the circle of responsibility that shouldn't be there? Concerns of others. Okay. Tell me a little bit more.
I guess I was thinking about our children again.
Okay. Okay. So your kids and their concerns and helping them grow and change and mature and all of those things. Yeah. We could definitely do that. Not just with our kids, with close friends, with whoever we have, right? We want them so bad to see what's going on, but we can't make them see what's going on. So again, that ends up in the wrong place. That should be a concern to us, but it's not our responsibility. Right? Anything else? M.
Might be weird.
Okay, good.
But our own happiness.
Okay.
We elevate our own happiness to such an idol that it becomes a responsibility. God does want us to be happy. He's more concerned about our holiness. So it kind of goes in the concern to trust your happiness to God, and more concerned about your faithful obedience.
Yeah. So if our happiness is our barometer, right, and we're not necessarily happy, then we think something's wrong, right? And we need to do something. We're not always going to be happy, right? That's just the reality, right? Sins in the world. Yeah. But yeah, if we have to have that, like that becomes a non-negotiable, right? That becomes an idol, right? My personal comfort, my personal happiness, whatever it is involved in my kingdom, and I don't have that, then there's stress, fear, worry, anxiety, all of that when I don't get it. All the while, that's not a biblical thing to be pursuing, as what you said was great. You know, he's not as concerned with our happiness as he is our holiness. That's the hard part. Those are those fun things to say in church, but then we walk out of here and it's Monday and then we're like, yeah, no, I'd rather be happy, right? We need to grow in holiness. Yeah. I can definitely think in some stressful work situations, you know, that I had a responsibility to obey my bosses and do the best job I could, even though things were set up that I wasn't really able to do that very well, right? Whatever the politics or whatever environment was going on, I wasn't able to do that very well. I was still responsible for doing that, but maybe kind of what Glenn was saying, I can't change everything that's going on around me to make it be exactly like I want it to be. And if I internalize that, and if I worry about that, if I obsess about that, I just put that in the wrong circle. That belongs in the circle of concern, not the circle of responsibility. So it's a good exercise when we're worried about things to just, okay, what circle does this really belong in? Is this my circle of responsibility? My God-given, right? God-given responsibility, or is it something that I said is my responsibility and may not be a God-given responsibility, right? Because again, our hearts will lie to us. They're idol factories, and they will put all kinds of stuff that says that you're in control of your life. You will be like God. You will know good from evil, right? So you are the one who gets to decide what's your responsibility and what's not. No, don't elevate things that shouldn't be elevated that the Word of God does not, right? All right, questions, comments, disparaging remarks.
Excellent. Finally.
Actually, no. Psalm 131, I call it the mind your own business
song. Psalm 131?
Yeah.
Lori has dubbed the mind your own business psalm. Okay. Yeah.
You know, God's
responsibility is
supposed to my responsibility.
Yeah.
And, you know, from time to time it hits me when, you know, when the night starts going, the little squirrels,
squirrel.
The turtles, whatever, turtles.
Yep.
And I have to remember, you know, I don't exercise myself when things too great for me is when the King James puts it, and I like that
better. Yeah. Yeah, or so we think of what we want to happen, right? And God's up there laughing at us, shaking his head, just like the priests with their idols. I know all about what you're going through. I'm interested in your heart, right? Yeah, so Psalm 131, thank you for drawing us to that too. And in this too, along with that, I was thinking the fear of man just falls right into this, right? We can't control what other people think of us. And we shouldn't end up in that circle of responsibility where it's saying it. We care what God thinks about us, right? And we should be faithful to do what Scripture tells us to. But all right. Well, our time has grown to a close once again. Let me pray for us. And yeah, so thank you guys. Let's pray. God, we thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you for the way that you draw us to your word, the way that your word just is so clear, and especially that passage in Matthew 6 that we looked at tonight, Lord, that we should not worry about our lives, that we should not be excessively dwelling on our lives. We should not be trying to control the things that we have no control of, Lord. There are some things that are beyond our control, and we realize that you have left those things beyond our control to make us realize how small we truly are and how big you truly are. Lord, help us to not dwell upon all of the things that we can't control, but help us to dwell upon what you have called us to in your word and be faithful. Lord, help us to grow in that holiness and that sanctification, as we said last week, to have that sanctification mindset. Lord, help us be diligent. In some of these situations, Lord, we know that there are worries in this room that are big worries, and we don't want to minimize those. But we can't be consumed with those things. We need to be consumed with you. Help us to be smart. Help us to let others in and help each other work through these things. Lord, give us wisdom to navigate some of these things. Give us opportunity. But Lord, for the large part of that, be glorified in that by changing us in the midst of it, Lord. Help us to depend upon you and trust you in the midst of these things. And may we see your goodness. May we see your deliverance in many ways. And Lord, so many times it doesn't look like the way we think it is or should be. But Lord, that you deliver us. And ultimately, you have delivered us in Jesus. And so we think of him and we're thankful for him. And we're remembering our position before you because of Jesus. And so, Lord, we thank you for our salvation. We thank you for our forgiveness. You adopted us through Christ's sacrifice, Lord. Help us to walk in that and that be our identity, Lord. We thank you. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.